Give it up for Jesus. You know why Jesus said, where two or three gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst?
He said that because he knew that there would be times when people would gather and they would start to count the number. And so when they count the number and the number doesn't look, you know, exciting, we begin to think the Spirit is not present. And so he tried to dispel that notion by letting us understand that when we gather in his presence, two or three people are there, he is there. And that should be the thing that excites us when we gather in worship. We should be always aware that God is present. This is the season of vacation, and a lot of people are going here and there, and so we will see the number dwindle because of that. But it doesn't mean that the Spirit of God is not here. He's here this morning. So let's give Jesus a loud hand of praise. Yeah, exactly. So we praise the Lord this morning for his presence in our midst. Today, we're diving into a story that is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. It is a story of darkness, despair, and deliverance. A story that many of us can relate to in some way, shape, or form. It's about a man living in the shadows, trapped in his circumstances, feeling isolated, misunderstood, and overwhelmed by the forces beyond his control. This man's story gives us a glimpse into what our world would have looked like had Jesus or God not come into it to rescue us. His story tells us exactly what it is. The story also shows us what Satan had in mind for the human race as he launched his attack in the Garden of Eden. This attack was intended to remove humanity from God's original plan of having dominion and ruling over the earth and ruling over the earth God's way. So this was the plan of the evil one, to destroy all of that. When you see this man's life and the situation that he is faced with in this story, it tells us exactly why Satan came, to erase God's plan and bring about his own. Imagine this man living among tombs, isolated from community, bound by invisible chains, and his life is a living nightmare. Now picture Jesus crossing a stormy sea just to reach him. What does that tell us? It tells us that no matter how far gone we might feel, no matter how dark our situation is, Jesus will go to great lengths to find us, to heal us, and to set us free. That's what his mission is about. That's what his ministry is about. This story is not just about a man in the Bible. It's about every one of us. Because each of us has faced moments when darkness seemed overwhelming, when our voices were silent, and when fear threatened to consume us. Today, I believe God wants to speak to us through this story, if we will open up our hearts and ears to hear it. He wants to remind us that his power is greater than any darkness that is out there. He wants us to know that his love knows no bounds. He wants us not to look at the chains that we're in and just sit and stare at it, but that no chain is too strong for him to break. No darkness is too dark for him to light up. He wants us to understand this. Permit me to give you more insight on this subject as I speak to you this morning under the theme, When Light Shines in the Darkness. When light shines in the darkness. Let me give you 3 points and sit down. The first is Jesus, to see Jesus as the giver of sight. Jesus as the giver of sight. Look in Luke 8, 27, 29 through 29. These were this was the text that was read this morning. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes, nor lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." He says, for Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it has seized him, and and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by demon into solitary places. Look at this man's life was shrouded in darkness. If you see the story, literally, figuratively, you can see the story. Living among tombs, he had cut off from the world by this situation, living in isolation, his mind tormented by demonic forces. It's what we see through the story. Many of us can relate to moments of darkness in our own lives, feelings of loneliness, depression, addiction, or confusion that make us feel disconnected from the hope that Jesus brings to us. But notice what happens when Jesus approaches. The man is desperate, crying out, living in chaos. Yet Jesus sees beyond the surface. He knows the man's true identity. He's not looking at the man for who he was when he met him. He sees this man and he sees his true identity in him, and not just what the man looked like at this point. Many times we meet people on the streets. They are panhandling, and we look at them and we describe them by what we see. We see people who are living in addiction, and we describe them by what we see. We see people out there who are isolated and living homeless, and we describe them by what we see. But Jesus did not do that. When he saw this man, he looked beyond the circumstance, and he saw for who this man was created to be. This man was created in the image of God, deserving of all dignity and hope. And so this is what Jesus sees in the man as he looks at him. Jesus' approach signifies that no matter how far we're falling, his love reaches us. No matter how deep we have fallen, his love can still reach us. Today, some are living in tombs of despair, lost in grief, battling addiction, wrestling with a shame or feeling abandoned. You might feel trapped in a cycle you can't escape. But Jesus is crossing the stormy sea of your life to reach you. His light is brighter than your darkness, and he wants us to understand this. This story reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. His presence exposes darkness, but also dispels it. We don't have to stay in the shadows. We can come out of the shadows. When Jesus enters our lives, he brings clarity. He brings healing and sight. The question is, are we willing to step out of the darkness into his marvelous light? Because he's not going to come in there forcefully. When Jesus comes to you, he comes gently and he comes willingly, but he comes waiting for you to open your heart for him to come in. He is not going to intrude the life of anyone without this person allowing him to come in. And that's why we can read in the Bible him saying these words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door," he says, "I will come in and I will sup with him." He wants to come in our lives, but he cannot come there forcefully. The question to us is, are we willing to take that step and open up our lives so that he will come in and do the necessary work that needs to be done? So in order to do this, we have to reflect on areas in our lives where darkness seems overwhelming and bring that to Jesus. Invite Jesus into those places of darkness and allow him to come and break the chains. And the way how we do that is by coming to him and being honest about what the situation is and letting him know about it. Call it by the name. Do not sit on it and make it look like it doesn't exist. If you have a problem in your life, you have a weakness in your life, you have an addiction in your life, you bring it to Jesus and call it by the name and tell him that you are the only one who is able to break this. And this is where it starts, by you realizing that this is a reality that I need to break away from. And the only way I can break away from this is by confessing what it is. And you bring it to Jesus and you tell him what it is. Tell it like it is. And he's going to take it from there and work with you to change that circumstance around. When you feel in prison or lost, remember Jesus is the light that can illuminate your path and bring about the light that you seek for or you hope to have in your life. You cannot do it on your own. You don't have the power to do it. You don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the courage on your own to do it. You don't have nobody backing you to do it. The only way it's going to be done is by Jesus. He says it's not by might. It is not by power. It is done by the Lord. He says you cannot do it. He said you cannot do it on your own. He says you need him to do it. So we put our trust in him and we bring our problems to him. And now we look at Jesus as the giver of sight. Let's see Jesus now as the restorer of voice. You can look at verses 30 through 33. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he responded, "Legion." Because many demons had gone into this man, and they begged Jesus repeatedly. These were the demons talking to Jesus through the man, begging Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs, he says, were feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Now, the demons recognized Jesus and begged him not to torment them. When you look at this story, it tells us two things. It tells us that demons are real. Demons live on the earth now. They live in our midst now. And they are here doing this exact same thing that they did during the time when Jesus was on the earth. They are tormenting people. They are possessing people. They are influencing people, not for the good, but for the worse. We have to always understand this. We cannot put this aside, and we cannot treat them like it's not real. The demons are around this place, and their job is to steal and to kill and to destroy us. And so this is a reality that we see happening that the scripture is talking about. This is not a fairy tale. This is a real life issue that took place in the time of Jesus Christ. And because he had the authority over these demons, it's the reason why he is conversing with them. So the demons, he commanded them to come out, and the man was set free. His tormentors, these demons, had silenced him for so many years. His life was marked by chaos, and his voice was drowned out of the torment within. And this man was never using his voice anymore. Instead, the demons were using his voice. These demons were talking to Jesus through this man. You have to understand something, folks, that demons cannot work on the earth or do anything unless they occupy someone or is influenced or they are able to influence someone. That's the only way they can work, because they work in a tangible, natural world where all of us are. And the reason we wear the body we wear is to connect with the world that we are in. And in order to connect with this world, you must be in a physical body to do that. But demons don't have bodies. They are spirits. And in order for them to operate, they have to get into a body to be able to make contact on this earth. And that's why they make it an essential part of the work to infest people's lives. Look at this man had a legion of demons in him. Do you know how many demons that was? 6,000 demons in one man. About 6,000 of them enter one man's body. Imagine how many of them are on the earth. If 6,000 will enter one man's life, imagine how many of them are on the earth. This is so important for us to understand as Christians that we are fighting a serious spiritual battle on the earth, that these demons seek to claim our lives. They seek to control our life. They seek to control the universe, because they understand that God said to mankind, have dominion and rule. And they are saying, no, you cannot have dominion and rule. We will rule. We will have power. We will have dominion. And the way to do that is to occupy our lives and control it. As they're doing to this man, they are taking away his voice. This guy is silent and is not speaking on his own anymore, but has been used by demons. In many ways, our society and even our own lives can be like this man. Silent because of fear. Silent because of guilt. Silent because of shame or trauma. We feel trapped, unable to speak out or share our stories. And this is the reason why the evil one would do this to us, because he doesn't want you to share your story. So he comes in and silences your voice. So many times we get out there in society, in the public square, and we cannot open up our mouths to talk about what the Lord has done for us. We cannot speak it out because while we have been silenced, we have to understand that God wants us to have our voices and speak out as Christians and let the world know that we've met Jesus. He wants us to do that. Many of us are battling silent struggles, mental health issues, family crisis, personal failures, that we hide behind a mask when we come out, and we don't want anybody to know about these things. We are afraid of being judged or being exposed or misunderstood. Yet Jesus longs to restore your voice, and he wants you to use your voice and come out of the darkness. He wants you to use your voice to denounce the enemy's stronghold upon your life, testify of his glory, and share your story, and declare his victory in your life. That's what God wants us to do. Deliverance is not just about physical freedom. It's about emotional and spiritual restoration. When Jesus sets us free, he enables us to speak about his mercy and about our journey with him and about his power to transform lives. He wants us to speak out. Find safe space in our as we walk throughout the day and find a way to share your story. When we wake up in the morning and we say our little prayer by the bedside, let this be one of the prayers we pray. Lord, connect me with someone this day whom I'm able to share my story with. Because just by sharing that story about what God has done for you may bring life and a change in the life of someone. So we pray for that opportunity. And when we get out there in the public, we need to begin to open up our ears and open up our eyes and to listen and to see what God is doing. He might bring somebody in our way that we can share our little story with about how we came to know him. He wants us to share the testimony because we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimonies. God wants us to share it. And so we talk about how Jesus as the giver of life. We talk about Jesus as the restorer of voice. Now let's talk about Jesus as the saver of life. Look in Luke 8, 34 through 39. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and is in his right mind, and they were afraid, the Bible says. Notice that when the man was healed, he was clothed in his right mind, fully restored. But his transformation didn't end there. Jesus told him to go back home and share how much God had done for him. You have to understand this. This man was ready to follow Jesus. I don't know why. He probably decided to follow Jesus so that the demons would not torment him any longer. Or he just wanted to follow him because of the joy that he had experienced and the breakthrough that had happened in his life. I don't know why he did this. But Jesus tells him, no, don't follow me. Now you have a story. He says, go back to town and tell everybody what I have done for you or what God has done for you. And the Bible tells us, as you read the story, that this man went throughout the town telling his story about what God had done for him. You see, this is how faith is built up in the society. This is how faith is built up in the church when we stand up and talk about what God has done for us. It is how we are able to encourage other people and bring them to saving faith in God. So this is very important that we share our faith. The man fear was replaced by faith. Fear kept him away from living a normal life. Hiding in the graveyard, a symbol of death. The graveyard is a symbol of death. And it shows us that how much the devil and the demons were intending to silence this man and destroy his dreams and destroy his life and destroy all that God has purposed in him to become. And this is what he would do to any one of us who allow him to use us and take us down that path that leads down to depravity. He will use us if we let him. And this is what he's doing with his guy. Have him living his life in the graveyard, living his life in isolation from everybody else, because now when he keeps him in isolation, there is no way for him to grow. You cannot grow in isolation in the Lord, because we need to be together. We need one another. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. We need to come together, rebuke one another, strengthen one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. These are the things that we do as we come together in the church. And so it is very essential that the church comes together and not live in isolation, because living in isolation is like leaving your life open or vulnerable for the evil one to step in and do exactly what he wants to do. So he keeps this man in the graveyard. He keeps him isolated to a place of no production. That's what the graveyard is. The people in the graveyard are dead. There is no activity happening there. It's the place he takes a living man and places him in the graveyard. And oh, how I wish that we would understand the reason for which Jesus comes. He doesn't come to keep us in the cemetery. We are still living. We still have life in us. And he wants to use us. And that's why he tells you that I have come so that you might have life and have it what? Abundantly. He gives us abundant life as he comes. Let's utilize that. Let's live for Christ. Let's stand up for him. Let's speak out for him and do his will and enjoy the light that he shares with us on our way. This transformation is powerful. It shows us that Jesus doesn't just deliver us from something, but what he does, he delivers us for something. We are not just delivered from something, but we are delivered for something. So when Jesus delivers us from, he delivers us for. There is a task that he has you to carry out. He wants you to speak out and proclaim what he has done in your life. He turns our fear into faith and our pain into a platform for his glory. That's what Jesus does. Many of us have experienced setbacks in our lives, or failures or shame that make us hesitant to share our faith. But God is calling us to be witnesses for him. Proof that Jesus can change even the most broken lives that have ever existed on the earth. Your story of deliverance is a divine assignment. When we step out in faith and share what Jesus has done, we become living testimonies. Our fear becomes faith. Our scars become signs of his healing power in our lives. So identify someone in your life who need to hear a testimony. It is so important. And this is the crux of this message this morning. Jesus did not let this man just walk behind him. He told him, go and share your testimony. Tell somebody about what I have done for you. And we can learn from this and learn that each moment and opportunity we have to share our own faith, let's share it with somebody and tell them what God has done for us. I pray that as you hear these words this morning, it'll encourage your hearts and keep you steadfast in your faith, knowing always that God, who has called us, will never bring us this far and leave us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say amen. Amen and amen.